Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this March the 8th on the West Coast, now March the 9th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. We appreciate you helping us spread the truth. What do we talk about tonight? I purposely didn't schedule a guest. Usually when I am impulsed not to schedule a guest on a particular day, a message comes through. And the message will be different from what you're hearing on the news. I'm quite aware of what they're saying on the news, but I have to be honest and tell you that I cannot stomach it because it's all propaganda. You're seeing images and you're told what the images are you're seeing mean or what caused these images to occur. And then you develop a belief about an event that's totally orchestrated for the purpose of tricking you, hoodwinking you into a belief, a program. This is being done constantly. We are not hearing in the United States the news that really pertains to us, to what's going on in this country and what's going on in the rest of the world. And when I thought about, what do I talk about tonight? Overwhelmingly, I felt and reminded myself of a show I did, maybe a month or so ago, a show which I labeled during the broadcast, "We Have Short Memories, Don't We?" And I repeated that phrase throughout the broadcast to remind people that we experience something, and whether or not it has significant meaning in our lives, we tend to cast it aside and forget it. It has no impact on it. And yet there are events that have occurred in this country over the past 10 years or so, which mirror events that occurred in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, the event that got us into World War II, some years after the war to end all wars occurred, World War I. Of course, we weren't being told about the other wars that were going on in other parts of the world, and we weren't taught those things in school. So when people hear about them, it's almost like they're hearing fantasy. And to tell you the truth, the stories that were given historically about those other wars are very much made up on fantasy. People have a lot of concerns about us being attacked by a rogue planet that's going to come tearing into our solar system. This story is being put out by intelligence agencies and originally written about by intelligence assets for the purpose of creating a diversionary fear based on an endgame scenario that they would like to introduce, maybe to get rid of all religions or to destroy independent thinking and sovereignty and freedom or liberty. And to destroy the foundation of governments, we'll say, or ideologies, countries, and what makes them what they are and who they are. It's always the people that make the country, not the business. Certainly the land applies in that we occupy it, we live on it, it keeps us alive. and we have an obligation to understand that. But everything gets steered toward the banks, the corporations, and that includes war, and that includes acts, alleged acts of war. I'm not saying that a war was never started because people attacked another country. That's happened throughout time on this planet. Doesn't happen in many other planets. NASA recently, within the past couple of days, released a report that they discovered some kind of a living organism on, I don't know if it's a comet or I think it's a meteorite. And they're saying, oh, there may be life elsewhere in the planet, in the galaxy, let's say. Excuse me. There may be life elsewhere in the galaxy? What the heck is going on the moon? From what I sense, what I intuit, it's like Disneyland and Disney World combined. All kinds of buildings up there, all kinds of industrial activity going on. And I'm not just referring to mining. So they have everybody looking for this rogue planet that's going to come attack the Earth and not pay attention to what's going on the moon or what's going on Mars. There's plenty that we've shared on this show. Either everybody's crazy, everybody's lying, or we've been on the moon. We're on the moon now. There are others on the moon, and likewise with Mars. In fact, I would venture, and I've said this on past shows, we've been to Mars before we've been to the moon. That's how we got there. That's also a big secret. That reason is the same reason why there were ships circling the Gulf of Aden. Because of a dimensional portal there, over that region. And so the terrorism, the piracy that these stories that they tell us, while they show us a couple of fishermen in a boat, maybe holding guns, well, those are pirates. Why? Because it was on the news? They want to deter people from taking vacations in those regions or whatever people would do to go there, to go there on business even. Oh, it's not safe. There are pirates. You have all kinds of space vehicles and every weapon of war you can imagine. And this little group of pirates in a fishing boat is wreaking havoc on the open seas. Think about these stories that they're feeding you. Use some discernment and think about it. I've talked about life on other planets, visitors being here, watching what's going on, because this insanity that's occurring on this planet affects them every bit as much as it does us. Maybe even more. Certainly nuclear explosions on this planet with the weapons they have today would probably destroy this place. And we should be thinking about the type of beings that would want that to happen. In other words, if we can't have it, nobody's going to have it. That's the philosophy. That's how the governments are being run, the world's financial system, the energy companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the educational system. We can't have it our way. It's not going to happen at all. Is that why we came to this planet Earth? Did we come here just to suffer or just to serve the whims of a demented few? Psychotic few? We have to ask ourselves these questions. I'm going to be sharing some audio clips from some videos that were produced that are going to talk about a topic that does get some discussion, but not the type that we're going to get tonight. And I'm going to, I suppose, at this point, allow you to just contemplate what I've talked about, because this is going to get heavy, folks. So please pay attention. This is the wisdom of Stevie Wonder from many years ago. If it's magic. Dreams.
If it's magic, then why can't it be everlasting? Like the sun that always shines, like the poet's endless rhyme, like the galaxies in time. If it's pleasing, then why can't it be never leaving? Like the day that never fails, like on seashores there are shells, like the time that always tells. It holds the key to every heart throughout the universe. It fills you up without a bite and quenches every thirst. Oh, if it's special, then with it wild we as careful as making sure we dress in style, posing pictures with a smile, keeping danger from a child. It holds the key to every heart throughout the universe. It fills you up without a bite and quenches every thirst. So if it's magic, why can't we make it everlasting? Like the lifetime of the sun, it will leave no heart undone, for there's enough for everyone.
Pretty wise for a man who's been deprived of his sight since age 4. And he's up there in his years. Stevie Wonder, if it's magic. Why did I play that? What is he talking about? If it's magic, is he not talking about love? Real love? Love from the heart? Love for the creation, love for the creator, not the destroyer, the creator. We had an event, or a series of events, that occurred on September 11th, 2001. We have short memories on this show, and I've heard this on other shows. We've stated emphatically that there is no Al-Qaeda, that this is a fiction created by intelligence agencies. CIA gets the brunt of the blame for it, but don't be fooled that they're not working in conjunction with MI6 or MI5 or the FBI or the Israeli Mossad or Israeli Sayeret Mataal or the KGB, the GRU, or any of the other international intelligence agencies. This is planned out. This event on 9/11 was planned out and forecast, foretold, by a document called Rebuilding America's Defenses, published by a think tank group in Washington called Project for a New American Century. Project. This was called a project. Imagine that. And, of course, the war in Afghanistan shouldn't be overlooked, nor the war in Iraq. The alleged apprehension of Saddam Hussein, the alleged trial and execution, although everybody that saw the guy that stood in for him didn't really look like him. Now, we were told on 9/11 that some airplanes flown by 19 box-cutter-wielding Arab hijackers were flown into World Trade Center 1 and World Trade Center 2, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 people are alleged to have died, yet careful study, and there's been some brilliant work done by one Simon Schack, who produced a series, a nine-part series called September Clues. September Clues analyzes the video images that we saw on television and shows some things that could not have occurred unless all the images shown on every TV network were orchestrated from the same point. All the fade to blacks that occur in the video when one of the planes goes through the building. They didn't want the plane to go through. First of all, there wasn't a plane. We saw images on TV of a plane going through the building. Going through the building like a hot knife through butter. And they had people on the sidewalks telling the news media exactly the reason for the collapse of the buildings. They could tell this from the street. Give me a break. There was another video, 9/11 Eyewitness, produced by one Rick Siegel, that analyzed explosions going off at ground level, at least. You could see the smoke coming up from the ground, not from the top of the building where the alleged airplane sat. But people messed up and said, that was a missile, there was a missile, there was a second explosion. They didn't say second airplane, they said second explosion. Or, I didn't see an airplane, I saw a missile. Now, I'm not even saying definitely that there was a missile, because there's evidence of other technology used. How do you suppose the support columns got cut at perfect 45-degree angles? Could it have been done with a laser torch made by a company such as Plasmark that manufactures lasers that will cut through 1.5-inch steel? Someone would want the building to fall straight down. They would cut it at a very specific angle. The parameters for setting up explosives and weakening, intentionally weakening the foundation of the building so it would fall on its own footprint are extensive and very complicated. These things could have been carried out very easily. You have people talking about thermite. We had people on the street saying, oh, yes, it was the jet fuel got so hot that it melted these buildings. These 110-story buildings, not just one, two. And kerosene doesn't burn that hot when on fire. And explosives can, depending on the type, can melt steel, but so do high energy weapons. Now, we're in space. We know that. They've sold that to us. The space shuttle missions and the Apollo missions and the Gemini and the Mercury. Those of you who are old enough to remember those days. But there were missions to the moon that they didn't tell us about. And there were things they found on the moon that they didn't tell us about. But this came after we were already on Mars. And this will be proven. Sometime in the very near future, it will be proven. You heard me talk about our visitors from space, a group called the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon. They are real people, just like the real people down here. They're very advanced spiritually, mentally, physically, and technologically. In fact, their integrity is why their technological prowess has risen to the level it has, because they use it responsibly. What's the big deal? You accept this when you watch Star Trek. Why would this be so difficult for this to be real? Because NASA told us they found some bugs on a meteorite. There may be life elsewhere because they found something that looks like a serpent. I mean, we have short memories. We forget these things, that they told us this, they showed us that. Then they spin the story and tell us none of it ever happened. We're supposed to just accept that. Building underground bases, underground tunnels, underwater bases, and underwater tunnels. For what? What is being hidden in those places? Or what do they use them for? What do they plan to use them for? It really doesn't matter if you can't see the truth in events that are happening right before your very eyes. Once you can grasp that there's a mission, there's a goal at work, then you can hear the news and you can see right through it. Now, we've been chasing this boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, for some 10 years, and I reported in 2007 in the Idaho Observer, the first article I wrote for that newspaper, and it's posted on my website, directlightproductions.com, under articles. I wrote a story about Wantagate, and I referenced the individual who was blamed for 9/11. He went by the name of Tim Osman at the time. Now, I'm going to share a clip with you. I could go on for hours with this, but that's not my intention tonight. Just want to set the preface because we were told the name of this boogeyman who happens to have been a longtime business associate with the Bush family, a.k.a. Scherf. I wrote about them in another piece I wrote, also published in the Idaho Observer, also on my website, directlightproductions.com. Click on articles and the index comes up and you can read. My work has been plagiarized by a number of people pretending to be doing original research and spinning facts and figures to confuse or to make it look like this guy is actually doing original work when I've got him pegged to be a Nazi. And I know his real identity, even though he writes under a pen name. Osama bin Laden, why did he have to be called Tim Osman? Why make up that name? Was it because someone would remember this when he became blamed for 9/11? Listen to what the BBC says about Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden.
Even bin Laden's displays of strength for the Western media were faked. The fighters in this video had been hired for the day and told to bring their own weapons. For beyond his own small group, Bin Laden had no formal organization until the Americans invented one for him. In January 2001, a trial began in a Manhattan courtroom of four men accused of the embassy bombings in East Africa. But the Americans had also decided to prosecute Bin Laden in his absence. But to do this under American law, the prosecutors needed evidence of a criminal organization, because as with the mafia, that would allow them to prosecute the head of the organization, even if he could not be linked directly to the crime. And the evidence for that organization was provided for them by an ex-associate of Bin Laden's called Jamal Al-Fadl.
During the investigation of the 1998 bombings, there is a walk-in source, Jamal Al-Fadl, who's a Sudanese militant who was with Bin Laden in the early 90s, who has been passed around a whole series of Middle Eastern secret services, none of whom want much to do with him, who ends up in America and is taken on by the American government, effectively, as a key prosecution witness and given a huge amount of American taxpayers' money at the same time. His account is used as raw material to build up a picture of Al-Qaeda. The picture that the FBI want to build up is one that will fit the existing laws that they will have to use to prosecute those responsible for the bombing. Now, those laws were drawn up to counteract organized crime, the mafia, drugs crime, crimes where people being a member of an organization is extremely important. You have to have an organization to get a prosecution. And you have Al-Fadl and a number of other witnesses, a number of other sources, who are happy to feed into this, who've got material that looked at in a certain way can be seen to show this organization's existence. You put the two together and you get what is the first Bin Laden myth, the first Al-Qaeda myth. And because it's one of the first, it's extremely influential.
The picture Al-Fadl drew for the Americans of Bin Laden was of an all-powerful figure at the head of a large terrorist network that had an organized hierarchy of control. He also said that Bin Laden had given this network a name, Al-Qaeda. It was a dramatic and powerful picture of Bin Laden, but it bore little relationship to the truth. The reality was that Bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri had become the focus of a loose association of disillusioned Islamist militants who were attracted by the new strategy. But there was no organization. These were militants who mostly planned their own operations and looked to Bin Laden for funding and assistance. He was not their commander. There is also no evidence that Bin Laden used the term Al-Qaeda to refer to the name of a group until after September the 11th, when he realized that this was the term the Americans had given him. In reality, Jamal Al-Fadl was on the run from Bin Laden, having stolen money from him. In return for his evidence, the Americans gave him witness protection in America and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Many lawyers at the trial believed that Al-Fadl exaggerated and lied to give the Americans the picture of a terrorist organization that they needed to prosecute Bin Laden.
And there were selective portions of Al-Fadl's testimony that I believe was false to help support the picture that he helped the Americans join together. I think he lied in a number of specific testimony about a unified image of what this organization was. It made Al-Qaeda the new mafia or the new communists. It made them identifiable as a group and therefore made it easier to prosecute any person associated with Al-Qaeda for any acts or statements made by Bin Laden, who talked a lot.
The idea, which is critical to the FBI's prosecution, that Bin Laden ran a coherent organization with operatives and cells all around the world, of which you could be a member, is a myth. There is no Al-Qaeda organization. There is no international network with a leader, with cadres who will unquestioningly obey orders, with tentacles that stretch out to sleeper cells in America, in Africa, in Europe. That idea of a coherent, structured terrorist network with an organized capability simply does not exist.
In December, the Northern Alliance told the Americans that bin Laden was hiding in the mountains of Tora Bora. They were convinced they had found the heart of his organization.
The search for Osama bin Laden, there was constant discussion about him hiding out in caves, and I think many times the American people have a perception that it's a little hole dug out of a side of a mountain.
Oh, no.
This is it. This is a fortress.
Yes.
A complex, multi-tiered, bedrooms and offices on the top, as you can see. Secret exits on the side and the end, and on the bottom. Cut deep to avoid thermal detection. A ventilation system to allow people to breathe and to carry on. The entrance is large enough to drive trucks and even tanks, even computer systems and telephone systems. It's a very sophisticated operation.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I intentionally pause that for a moment to comment. They're showing in the video version of this clip that you're hearing a drawing with graphics. It's a drawing. It's not even a sophisticated drawing, but they're showing sort of a cutout view from the side of a mountain into a multi-tiered facility. Probably some drawing that they took from one of their own underground bases. We continue now.
You bet. This is serious business. And there's not one of those. There are many of those.
For days, the Americans bombed the mountains at Tora Bora with the most powerful weapons they had. The Northern Alliance have been paid more than $1 million for their help and information. And now, their fighters set off up the mountains to storm bin Laden's fortress and bring back the Al-Qaeda terrorists and their leader. But all they found were a few small caves, which were either empty or had been used to store ammunition. There was no underground bunker system, no secret tunnels. The fortress didn't exist. The Northern Alliance did produce some prisoners they claimed were Al-Qaeda fighters. But there was no proof of this. And one rumor was that the Northern Alliance were simply kidnapping anyone who looked remotely like an Arab and selling them to the Americans for yet more money. The Americans now began to search all the caves in all the mountains of eastern Afghanistan for the hidden Al-Qaeda network.
We found a cave. The rest of it is open, break.
If nobody went up to look into that cave, people could have been hiding up there for days and watching everything that we did.
But wherever they looked, there was nothing there. Al-Qaeda seemed to have completely disappeared. But then, the British arrived to help. They were convinced they could hunt down Al-Qaeda because of what they said was their unique experience in fighting terrorism in Northern Ireland. They could succeed where others had failed.
The hunt for Al-Qaeda and Taliban goes on. And we stand shoulder to shoulder with the United States and our other coalition allies in the global war of terrorism.
But how many Al-Qaeda have you captured?
We haven't captured any Al-Qaeda, but...
And how many have you actually managed to kill here in southeast Afghanistan?
We haven't killed any.
The terrible truth was that there was nothing there because Al-Qaeda as an organization did not exist. In looking for an organization, the Americans and the British were chasing a phantom enemy and missing the real threat.
I was with the Royal Marines as they trooped around eastern Afghanistan. And every time they got a location for a supposed Al-Qaeda or Taliban element or base, they'd turn up and there was no one there. Or there'd be a few startled shepherds. And that struck me then as being a wonderful image for the war on terror, because people are looking for something that isn't there. There is no organization with its terrorist operatives, cells, sleeper cells, so on and so forth. What there is an idea prevalent among young, angry Muslim males throughout the Islamic world. That idea is what poses the threat.
And that's the end of that clip. So there is no Al-Qaeda. Soldiers there are saying that. The video shows that too, by the way. But I could have told you that, or you could have guessed that, most likely. Lots of bombs went off. In fact, the night of 9/11, NBC Nightly News, hosted by anchorman Tom Brokaw, had a conveniently photographed glow in the sky, a big orange ball of fire went in. A large explosion went off. They just happened to have their cameras trained exactly on the explosion when it occurred. Don't you find that a little bit interesting? Then we heard proclamations that this was an evil enemy and that this was a war that was going to go on for 100 years. I remember George W. Bush making that ridiculous statement. Of course, that's their intention. If they have to do that, they will do that. It's been going on for thousands of years, folks. This is nothing new. And we have short memories. I want to allow that to sink in while we listen to Toto and 1,000 years. I don't know about you, but to me, that song makes more sense than anything any government has told us about 9/11 and who was behind it and what actually happened. The evidence was picked up and escorted to secret places, body parts of unidentified people buried in the trash. They put out the story that a Navy ship that was launched a year or so ago was actually manufactured from the steel from the World Trade Center. Talk about satanic ritual. Putting men and women on a ship with the energy of a mass murder on it. Oh, my goodness. These are the things that they peddle. You see, you have to use your discernment. And that would be most likely radioactive metal, because there were many of the rescue workers there at Ground Zero for months that were exposed to radiation. People dying of radiation exposure and other anomalies that are occurring there. So happens that some recent research I've done identifies who owns the company that mines asbestos and likely mined the asbestos used in the World Trade Center. An individual born in Istanbul, Turkey, and raised in Tel Aviv, Israel, ended up taking control of the mines in Ohio. And the mesothelioma lawsuits that are occurring right now are putting money in the same people's pockets because they're just trying to make settlements and produce work for the attorneys. You see, because the attorneys get paid when there's a settlement. If you only knew the truth of what was really going on in the financial community, and that this was the same kind of event as the alleged oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and the corruption that's going on there, the put options. They had put options on 9/11. Why not do them again? In fact, they've placed put options on events so many times, it would make you dizzy just to hear about all of them. 9/11, they did some big ones. Billions and billions of dollars changed hands in a very short time period. And I've gone down that trail. And it tells me that a person that allegedly died in a plane crash that occurred could not be alive, but is alive and is part of that corruption that I'm talking about. I've talked about it on past shows, but we have short memories, so I feel it's important to remind you. That's what the spirit in me is saying. We need to be reminded of what occurred here, not what's occurring elsewhere. It's all for public consumption, to create fear and to disinform, to propagandize, to indoctrinate, to cause you to believe in something that's not true. Now, you heard the BBC talk about Al-Qaeda. I've been saying the same thing. They said some things in this report that I disagree with, because I know a little bit more about who went there, and what they show is some Afghani soldiers that were paid $1 million to go up there and go look for him. Well, they can show you anything they want to show you. That's the whole point here. But I know a bit more about that whole process of looking for bin Laden. I've talked about that on past shows as well. Here are some sounds that occurred on 9/11. Quite different from what the mainstream was telling you, mainstream media. But at the same time, there are some media people here making some declarations that were scrubbed or sanitized from later news broadcasts. But have a listen. Where do people get this information?
Yeah, here's one of the guys. He can tell you I'm okay, all right? Here, hold on. You want to call your mother or something?
We've heard reports of secondary explosions after the aircraft impacted. Whether in fact there wasn't something else at the base of the towers that in fact were the coup de grace to bring them to the ground.
When you're down there, Dan, you hear smaller secondary explosions going off every 15 or 20 minutes. And so it is an extremely dangerous place to be.
And I'm surrounded by firefighters who are just watching helplessly. They've had to suspend their rescue operation, and they're just watching a burning hulk of building right now. The front part of the World Trade Center has completely sheared off, as well as many of the upper floors. And every few minutes you'll hear like a small sort of a rumbling sound, almost like an explosion sound, and another chunk of it will come flying down into the street.
Rick Sanchez has been there throughout this morning for us. Rick, tell us where you are and what the latest is.
Well, I'm in that area, if you're familiar with this area, where West Broadway and Hudson come together. Right at Chambers, that would put us about a block and a half away from the site of where the explosion was. That area has just been evacuated because police have found what they describe as a suspicious device, and they fear that it might be something that could lead to another explosion. Obviously, there's a real sense of caution here on the part of police. I spoke with some police officials moments ago, Chris, and they told me that they have reason to believe that one of the explosions at the World Trade Center, aside from the ones that may have been caused by the impact of the plane with the building, may have been caused by a van that was parked in the building that may have had some type of explosive device in it. So their fear is that there may have been explosive devices planted either in the building or in the adjacent area, and that's why they're being so cautious.
We heard another explosion, and I'm assuming that's the one that came from the lower level, since there were two. And I
right, because it was like 18 minutes apart.
Well, this is, no, the first explosion, and there was a second explosion in the same building. There were two explosions.
Okay.
Federal agencies that were down there do believe that there was some sort of explosive device somewhere else besides the planes hitting.
NBC's Pat Dawson is close to the scene of that attack, Pat.
Just moments ago, I spoke to the chief of safety for the New York City Fire Department. Chief Albert Terry, he received word of the possibility of a secondary device, that is another bomb going off. He tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place. And then an hour after the first hit here, or the first crash that took place, he said, there was another explosion that took place in one of the towers here. He thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building. The second device, he speculates, was probably planted in the building.
First one and then the other, some say after secondary explosions.
We understand now there has been a secondary explosion on Tower 2.
If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
I'm in a building, so I clear it out. Sorry, you see the bomb? What's that? Bomb in the building, so I'm clearing out. Got it.
So tell me how you're feeling. How did you get there? What happened to you?
I worked for the Trade Center, one of the carpenters, and I was going to go do a job. And I got on the elevator, and the freight elevator, and I heard the first explosion, and the elevator blew up. Doors blew up and it dropped, and I was lucky that the elevator got caught between two floors that...
Which floors?
The B levels, the basement levels, with all the, you know, all the mechanics on.
There was another big, big explosion in the other town. Flames coming out in this billowing grey smoke. People still not panicking. People not quite understanding what was going on. Then somebody said that they saw an airliner go into one of those towers. Then, an hour later than that, we... had that big explosion from much, much lower. I don't know what on earth caused that.
At 10:30, I tried to leave the building, but as soon as I got outside, I heard a second explosion and another rumble and more smoke and more dust. I ran inside the buildings. The chandelier shook, and again, black smoke filled the air. Within another 5 minutes, we were covered again with more silt and more dust. And then a fire marshal came in and said we had to leave because if there was a third explosion, this building might not last.
As we were getting our gear on and making our way to the stairway, there was a heavy-duty explosion.
Some of the people out, then there was those secondary explosions, and then some skin collapses. So I don't know how many people were there. I know there's a lot of firefighters.
New York's bravest never had a chance.
You really never even got close to the building. The explosion blew, and it knocked everybody over.
The FBI is here, as you can see. They had roped this area off. They were taking photographs and securing this area just prior to that huge explosion that we all heard and felt.
Most of the victims so far were people outside the blown-up buildings.
Like, it sounded like gunfire. You know, bang, 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 bang. And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
To me, it sounded like an explosion, then the building, the rolling sounded like the building collapsed.
Top floors collapsed down. I saw it blow and then ran like hell. I thought 69, but I can still run.
It just went ba-boom. It was like a bomb went off. And it was like holy hell coming down them stairs. And then when we finally got to the bottom, we were coming out on a mezzanine level there. And then other explosions came right from the building. I'm flying.
Yeah, I just saw that as well. The second tower, the only one that was standing, tower number one, we saw some kind of explosion, a lot of smoke come out of the top of the tower, and then it collapsed down onto the street.
And next thing we know, it was boom, and the floor started shaking. And then we saw debris fall down, and next thing we know, we had to get out of the building. We stuck on the stairs for a while, finally got down to the lobby. Then we get to the lobby, this is big.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, corporation counsel, were on the 21st floor. I told him we got to get out of here. Started walking down the stairs and made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Back into the 8th floor.
I was making my way to the foot of the World Trade Center. Suddenly, while talking to an officer who was questioning me about my press credentials, we heard a very loud blast, an explosion. We looked up, and the building literally began to collapse.
That was obviously one of our CNN producers who's on the call and rose. What do you got?
I'm about a block away, and there were several people that were hanging out the windows right below where the plane crashed, when suddenly you saw the top of the building start to shake, and people began leaping from the windows in the north side of the building. You saw two people at first plummet, and then a third one, and then the entire top of the building just blew up, and splinters of debris are falling on the street.
When I try to say people, the moment we heard a big explosion coming down, everything just went black. Everything came down, glass started popping, people got hurt, stuff went on top of them, and it was a big explosion, and everything got dark, real dark, like snow. You can see behind me, all this is not snow, this is all from the building. It was a terrible nightmare.
Because I was down in the basement, all of a sudden we heard a loud bang, and the elevator doors blew open, some guy was burnt up, so I dragged him out, his skin was all hanging off.
The streets of the financial district covered with debris, in some cases ankle deep. Cars on fire, cars just turned by the force of the explosions. It was like something no one had ever seen.
This huge, incredible force of wind and debris actually came up the stairs, knocked my helmet off, knocked me to the ground.
I was about 5 blocks away when I heard explosions, 3 thuds, and turned around to see the building we just got out of, antenna tip over and fall in on itself.
We started going.
All my floors
started popping out.
It was if it had detonated.
Yeah, detonated.
There were
plans
to take down a building.
I go downstairs. The foreman tells me to go to remove the containers. As I'm walking by the main freight car of the building in the corridor, that's when I got blown. I mean, the impact of the explosion of whatever happened. It threw me to the floor, and that's when everything started.
This is clearly the way the structure is collapsing. This was the result of something that was planned. This is not, it's not accidental that the first tower just happened to collapse and then the second tower just happened to collapse in exactly the same way. How they accomplished this, we don't know.
I tell you what, the person who believes that this wasn't set up by our own government isn't it.
Well, that clip is courtesy of a gentleman called Lucas. It's called 9/11 Total Proof That Bombs Were Planted in the Buildings. If I am at odds with anything in this production, I think it's the music. The music is totally unnecessary. It masks the important salient points that people are making and literally drowns out much of the monologue or the dialogue going on. But nevertheless, it is what it is. And if you could make out what was being said, constant references to secondary explosions, which, as I mentioned earlier, are seen in Rick Siegel's 9/11 Eyewitness movie. You can see from the ground explosives, let's say explosive clouds moving up from ground level, rising above the skyscrapers in the vicinity of the World Trade Center. It's quite obvious that this was actually more than explosives. You have to take into account the automobiles that were parked even blocks away that were incinerated, not by a falling building, but by high energy weapons. Some automobiles were left totally untouched in between two vehicles parked along the sides of the street that were burned to a crisp through and through. In some cases, totally beyond recognition. And this occurred to some fire trucks. These are not little vehicles, folks. We have short memories. Think about that. I'll give you a couple of minutes to absorb it before I make my closing remarks.
I'll blame it on the sun that didn't shine. I'll blame it on the wind and the trees. I'll blame it on the tide. It never was enough. I'll blame it on the tide and the sea. But my heart blames. Not here for me to see. but words won't come for me to speak. Oh, but I'll blame it on the sun that didn't feel the sky. I'll blame it on the birds and the trees. I'll blame it on the day that ended once too soon. I'll blame it on the nights that could not be. But my heart blames it on me.
Stevie Wonder, blame it on the sun. I suppose we should. Got to blame somebody, right? Well, the first part, we established the fact that Al-Qaeda does not exist, didn't exist. Osama bin Laden, though he existed, played a more pertinent role in the original Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And it was the U.S. government's intention, with the help of Israel, to undermine that operation so they could move in and take control of the poppy fields. That's what's going on. And now they have a pipeline going through there from Uzbekistan. That was the area near where bin Laden was to be hiding. And anybody who's studied the issue knows that bin Laden died in 2001, likely in early to mid-December. But they had to keep a boogeyman going to keep the lie going. Now, we have visitors that witness these events, and they have ways of measuring what was done and how it was done. And if they were to come down here right now and tell you what was done, it wouldn't be too much different from what I'm telling you and what others have told you. There are some very good videos out there that you can watch. I encourage you to watch 9/11 Mysteries. Rick Siegel produced that. It's basically just a tripod recording. He set up a tripod, was forced to move at one point because the people standing on the Hoboken, New Jersey side of the Hudson, we're told that they were going to be transporting victims over that way, and they needed to keep that clear. So he moved his camera and continued filming, and he did an analysis on the explosions, which measured 2.3 on the Richter scale. You heard Donald Rumsfeld at the end of that clip, actually it was the middle of the clip, I misspoke, saying this is serious business. Well, yeah, it is business. It's about making money. It's about Ponzi schemes, derivatives, hedge funds, put options. And there's a paper trail. I've talked about it on this show and on other shows. There were no planes. The survivors of this event couldn't have survived if they were in plane crashes. There was no plane at the Pentagon either. I had someone on my show, presuming this person was telling the truth, gave a really interesting account of what happened there from outside. Very different story from what the media has told us. But we have short memories. We're looking at something, some ghost that doesn't even exist. And they build up this story of the danger level is level orange. I always thought orange was kind of a friendly color. How about you? Never saw danger in the color orange. But no, they have to pick colors of the rainbow and raise this mystical level. Yes, we're going to be attacked. We're about to be attacked. It's a certainty. Well, yeah, we've been infiltrated, folks. We've been telling you this. Who are the perpetrators? If it can't be the way they told us, then who are the perpetrators of 9/11? The government of the United States for allowing it to happen on every level, that they allowed explosives to be planted or energy weapons to be used. The theft of gold from the lower levels. That's been well reported. The underground explosions, the ridiculous testimony of alleged witnesses, eyewitnesses, who had more information than the mainstream media did. And there were people just standing on the street. It's been written about that these alleged box cutter wielding Arab hijackers are alive and in their home countries. Some of their pictures and names have been used, and they're incensed about it. And they're also concerned for their lives, too, because they have to keep the story going. They want more minerals. They want other countries' assets. They want to rape and pillage and plunder some more. That's what's going on. What the mainstream media tells you is less valuable than used bathroom tissue. Because all they do is lie. It has no consequence. Sure, listen to what they're saying. Recognize that they're lying. The truth is elsewhere, and it's right before your eyes. Tonight it was before your ears. I could go on and on and on about this topic, mainly because I feel very strongly that a small group of people did a lot of work in studying every detail of this, and I can tell you it's no fun looking at corruption. There's no fun at all in it. We could be doing better things with our lives, but then again, what could you be doing better than saving your country or saving the world by disseminating the truth? No matter how hard it is to come to grips with, no matter how hard it is for you to swallow, 9/11 occurred. It's been swept under the rug like so many presidential assassinations or other false flag events that have taken innocent lives so that you can have your rights taken away. It's quite obvious that it's all designed to make money. Get your minds off of health care from the people who've already established that all they can do is toxify you and poison you until you die. And look at what you can do to bring about awareness, to remind people of what happened. And we know it's not Al-Qaeda, and we know it's not Osama bin Laden, and we know it's not 19 box cutter wielding Arab hijackers. There were no planes that hit those buildings. So there couldn't have been any hijackings that occurred. It's simple. If there were no planes, then they had to have exploded those buildings and hit them with energy weapons to cause the widespread damage well beyond the vicinity of the buildings. And then we had Building 7, a third building where all the records were kept, all the intelligence information about these gigantic Ponzi schemes that have been played on the whole world, actually, not just the United States. and the bombs that they found on bridges, and the Israelis that were arrested from a company they named Urban Movers, who were arrested by the FBI and then released. And also, let's remind ourselves that the FBI determined that there was no reason to arrest Osama bin Laden because they had no evidence that he had anything to do with it. Well, of course he didn't, other than to take the blame. And when bin Laden was gone and they needed more videotape, they put a stand-in in the video. And he looked as much like bin Laden as the guy that they arrested, claiming he was Saddam Hussein. The ridiculous stories they tell us. And we believe them. And we hold on to those longer than we hold on to the truth, if we ever get to the truth, because we have short memories. I want to thank you for listening to Evident Footprints. I could go on and on, but why do that? I've given you plenty to think about. You can view these videos yourself. There are many videos exposing the fraud of the 9/11 Commission's findings and the events that occurred on 9/11. Plenty of evidence out there, folks. Plenty of evidence. The terrorists are in the government. The terrorists are in the banks and the pharmaceutical companies. Terrorists are in underground bases, too, but that's a whole other issue. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show over at PBS Radio. Tonight we had Don Newsom on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible and you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.